I don't know what typical people think about how the Earth moves. I mean, I think if you really quiz them, they could in their head figure, well, okay, it spins, but it also goes around the sun. And then they might figure the sun must move as well, and we just kind of are all together moving with the whole solar system. I'm not sure. I think some of the things that I've noticed, though, are things like, why does the Earth keep spinning? Why doesn't it slow down? Everything else we use in our normal lives, spinning tops and spinning anything, slows down eventually. But the Earth has been spinning for billions of years and will continue to. And it's just very removed from our normal everyday experiences because the Earth doesn't encounter friction like a spinning top does. It doesn't encounter wind and air resistance like everything else down here in our atmosphere does. And so since there's not much to keep it from spinning or from orbiting, it just keeps doing that over and over and over again. Well, the pattern is called an analemma, and it's been known for a really long time. And, you know, we started to realize it was really interesting when we saw that human-made clocks, human timekeeping, didn't quite agree with the sun. You can live by the sun, and you can just say that it's noon when the sun reaches the highest point in the sky that it will, you know, each day. And it gets higher and higher throughout the year, and then in the summer it's at the highest, and then it goes starts moving down. But if you actually time it with a regular clock, you'll notice that the sun will appear to be kind of moving faster or slower day to day. It will move past where it should have been, or it'll fall behind where it should have been. And it's all to do with the fact that the Earth is tilted. And Earth's tilt is, you know, more famously known for causing our seasons, but it also causes the length of a day to change day to day. There are other things that cause the length of the day to change, like the shape of Earth's orbit, but the tilt also plays a role. And because of that, we wind up experiencing longer days in December and shorter days in months like September. And by day, I mean not the amount of time the sun stays up in the sky and there's daylight. I mean the amount of time it takes for the Earth to turn around once relative to the sun. That's not always the same. Day to day, it changes. And in a cool way, it means that the clocks we have made, human-made clocks, are actually better than the clocks that nature gave us. Yeah, look, I mean, timekeeping in our day-to-day lives is important for a lot of reasons. And man, way back when we were using water clocks or hourglasses to keep track of time, it was for reasons like making sure people had equal amounts of time to speak when they were in a court or something like that. It's important on a larger scale for us to keep track of time so that we can keep track of things like the seasons. When you're dealing with agriculture, it's important to know that now's the time to plant and now's the time to harvest. And you kind of have to be able to predict when those, you know, seasonal changes will happen. What else? I was going to say something else about seasons. Oh, yeah. I mean, look. Imagine being a prehistoric person who mm-hmm. might not fully have a conception of why the seasons are cyclical. You might not feel like they were even guaranteed. And so on that winter solstice, on that solstice when the sun comes up, it rises the lowest in the sky. And then the next day you notice that it actually rises higher than it did before. You know that warmer days and longer daytimes are coming. And tracking the sun and observing the solstice becomes this really important moment because it tells you that the sun isn't going to disappear forever and never rise again. It summer is coming. You know, warmth is coming and the growing season is coming and everyone's going to live another year. It seems like it would be bad. And it would be bad. luckily, there's really no mechanism that would cause the Earth to stop, especially mm-hmm. suddenly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if some crazy celestial object came into our path and interacted with us, maybe, I think we'd have other problems. I think the Earth's crust would fall apart if we tried to break it that quickly. But if Earth just suddenly stopped, we would become immediately aware of how quickly it used to be spinning, because everything on it would still have momentum moving it in that direction. And so depending on where you are on the Earth, you would fly hundreds of miles per hour in the direction that you're currently moving due to Earth's spin. So, you know, the Earth is spinning west chasing east, so we would all fly to the east at hundreds of miles per hour, unless you were on the North or South Pole, in which case you would go nowhere. Mm-hmm. But Earth's oceans would gush around wildly. And funny enough, you would actually begin to weigh more. Yeah. When I posed this question to people, they often said, oh, well, if the Earth didn't spin, there wouldn't be any gravity. That's an actual answer that I got from people who, you know, hadn't really thought about it. They just kind of off the top of their head thought, oh, Earth spin and gravity, I think they're related or something. But you would actually become heavier because as Earth spins, its gravity has to fight against our inertia, mm-hmm. which keeps us moving in a line tangent to the Earth's, you know, spin. So that extra energy required to keep us in one place on Earth's surface is not being used to pull us down, contributing to our weight. So on the flip side, if the Earth spun faster, we would weigh less. And I think that if I remember this correctly, if the Earth spun 17 times faster, we would all be weightless. Earth's gravity would only be enough to keep you kind of around. It wouldn't be enough to give you any weight. Well, if the sun disappeared, which is kind of a magical hypothetical, but let's say that the sun completely disappeared. It moved a million light years away because of a quantum tunneling case of bad luck. We wouldn't find out for what, like 8 minutes? We would continue to see the light from the sun that left it before it disappeared. But when the sun went out, oh, this is also kind of creepy. If the sun went out, it disappeared, we could still look at planets that are further away from the sun, and they would still be glowing, reflecting light that left the sun before it disappeared. They wouldn't know yet that the sun was gone. Earth is not a cold place without the sun. The Earth is really warm inside for a variety of reasons. Its own gravitational pull has caused mass to just really butt up against itself. At the same time, it also contains a lot of radioactive materials that are decaying. And so the Earth was hot when it formed, and it's still hot today. I mean, look at lava and magma, and it's still moving and pushing against itself, and there's a lot of friction and energy being turned into heat inside the Earth. So without the sun, we would still, after many, many years, be able to survive. Well, not even many years, but billions of years, we would be able to live off of the Earth's warmth if we were to build systems that kept us warm and were built around, say, hydrothermal regions like Yellowstone or in Iceland. But for those who weren't lucky enough to be around areas where there's a lot of geothermal heat, it still wouldn't be that bad that quickly. Earth's atmosphere keeps heat in decently well. And even without a sun, I think it would take a year or so before most places on Earth were just really super freezing. Probably the most interesting thing to me about a flat Earth is that we normally think a flat Earth means that you can walk to an edge and mm-hmm. fall off, as if the Earth was a dinner plate here on our Earth and things can fall off of it. But because the Earth is so large, it has a very significant gravitational pull on things. And if you actually do the math and figure out which direction gravity would point, in the middle of a flat Earth, gravity would point straight down. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining that a flat Earth is a disk of some thickness. And then as you walked toward the edge, gravity would begin slightly angling towards that center. And so near the edges, you would feel as though you were about to, you know, be pushed and rolled down a hill. Mm. It would seem to become steeper and steeper. It would feel steeper and steeper because gravity would angle as you reach the edge of the disc. Let's say the edge is right here. But then at that edge, gravity is going to point you right down to the center and you could stand upright again. You wouldn't have to stand at an angle like you were walking up a hill. Of course, we don't observe that. Mm-hmm. We observe gravity always working in a direction towards the center of Earth. So Earth probably isn't flat. Yeah, I think there are a lot of really, really good ones. The most famous one is attributed to Columbus. You know, he was at the beach watching ships leave, and he noticed that they disappeared from the bottom up as mm-hmm. they went beyond Earth's curve. And I'm sure he noticed that, but other people noticed it before him. And it's a misconception, actually, that everyone thought the Earth was flat before Columbus. We know that the ancient Greeks, for instance, had already determined that the Earth was probably a ball because on a day when a stick left no shadow, a vertical stick left no shadow, due north, you went far enough due north from that stick, the same vertical stick would leave a shadow. As if the Earth had curved and light rays were coming in at a different angle to that stick. And in fact, even using that kind of rudimentary idea, the ancient Greeks were able to calculate the circumference of the Earth quite accurately. I think, you know, besides things like ships disappearing from the bottom up, or the fact that Earth's shadow, when it falls on the moon during a lunar eclipse, is a circle, you know, rather than sometimes flat or anything, is just the fact that nothing as big as Earth could be flat. Once you're that large, the forces of gravity are strong enough that everything has to become a sphere at that size. More than a few, I don't know if it's a few kilometers or a few hundred kilometers in diameter, but at that scale, there's no material that has molecule structures strong enough to not be broken by gravity and collapse into a spherical shape. Well, I mean, what's beautiful about flat Earth theory in general is that it's a great way to teach about what science is and how science works, because although there's no material, that can be as big as Earth and not a sphere, you could still say, well, maybe it spins so quickly that all the different chunks of Earth along its, you know, shape have enough inertia in tangential directions to not collapse into a sphere. Or maybe there is no gravity at all, and instead we're a disk and we're just accelerating up. Because as Einstein showed, acceleration and gravity you can't tell the difference between the two by doing simple experiments. So, you know, what it becomes flat Earth theories become a way to explore how we know things. And the difference between having an ad hoc explanation for everything and having a solid explanation that works for all evidence and all observations, which the round Earth theory does. So all my videos are on YouTube. You can find them at youtube.com/vsauce, letter V and then the word sauce, like hot sauce. You check me out on Twitter. I'm TweetSauce on Twitter. And if you haven't heard of Vsauce before, go check it out. I like to cover all kinds of topics and kind of get people excited about learning and get them to experience some contagious curiosity. Isn't that amazing that many people are excited to learn things and to challenge themselves and to question things and to learn about our world? It's like, you know, I never knew when I began that it would grow the way it has. So I'm really thankful to the people of Earth, and maybe someday of other planets who can watch. But Josh, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for having me on. All right. See ya. Bye-bye.